This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Today on the... it's mailbag time. Oh, I can't believe I screwed up the intro. I forgot. Trying to be all professional here, but it is mailbag time. It is Thursday, July 16th. You might be hearing this on Friday the 17th or after. Welcome to the show. Adam, Jamie, and Dan Schneier here to recap FSJ a little bit, the conference Dan and I attended last week, but mostly to answer your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We also have the Fantasy Cops coming on later today. And hey, Dan, welcome back. What's up?
What's going on? Happy to be back here. Always happy to be on FFT with you two gentlemen.
This is the first time you guys have seen each other since the trip?
Yeah, actually. It was a long, long 72 hours together.
It was. And I don't know why our rooms were right next to each other. It was
directly next to each other.
Yeah, it was like they could have...
Joining rooms?
It could have been.
Almost.
It was weird. But we did learn some interesting things just about the industry. And man, the amount of people that play fantasy football, you know, just tell them to start listening to podcasts more. There's a big audience out there. But
what's the most fascinating thing that you learned?
Oh, great question. There was some cool AI stuff.
Yeah, definitely on the AI front. I'm trying to remember some of the stats we saw.
There was a presentation about the overlap between fantasy players and gamblers.
And gambling, yeah, with 9.2, I think it was like 9.2 million people played fantasy last year. Is that what it was?
No, like 56 million people in America.
Oh, 9.2 was the combination, the overlap maybe of who played fantasy and who gambled.
I think it was more than that. I think it was about 50% of fantasy. Yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of people. About 50%.
Hard to remember the stats. Jamie just put us on the spot.
It was hard, but there's a really big overlap. And the fact that 56 million people in America alone, not even Canada, which has a lot, played fantasy football last year is pretty, it's pretty cool. But I don't know if it was like have placed a single bet or more than one, but the number of people who gambled was like 69 million. So,
and for those listening, me and Adam found a few, I think, going to be really fun, really exciting people who are going to be willing to do FFT Open Leagues this year. So just a heads up for those of you who joined us last year and helped us and donated to St. Jude, our draft-a-thon cause, we're going to have the FFT Open again, and we're going to have a lot of fun people in the industry who are hosting leagues. So I'm excited for that.
Did you ask Matt Harmon yet?
I did talk to Matt, and he's willing to do it. He said, if Adam had asked me alone, I would have said no.
I did ask him alone.
He said no. Thankfully, our relationship that dates back 11 years, me and Matt Harmon, to Hot Cakes and Hot Takes, our first show on live on YouTube, me and him, which I saw video evidence of the other day, and it was not pretty, secured this one. So, yeah, you're welcome.
What was it called?
Hot Takes and Hot Cakes. We did a morning show, me and Matt Harmon, before he was anything, before I had done anything in the fantasy industry, and it was bad to look back on. We looked ridiculous.
All right, let's get into the show. And I did ask him, by the way, and he said yes to me without you being there. So anyway, that's just one of the guys that's going to be in the FFT Open this year. All right, first email comes from Team Blind Man's Luck. I have picked number 9. Oh, typo, Blind Man's Luck. I have pick number 9, and it's a full PPR league, 12 teams. Unless St. Brown falls to me at 9, I'm most likely going running back. I really want to take Chase Brown. But can you make a case why I should take Brown over James Cook? And if McCaffrey falls to me at 9, am I stupid for not taking him over Chase Brown or James Cook? This is a 15-year listener, Jamie, so you have to give him good advice.
So it's James Cook over A.J. Brown or Chris McCaffrey over both?
No, Chase Brown. Chase Brown.
Chase Brown or A.J. Brown?
Where did A.J. Brown come from?
I don't know.
It's
I heard
James
A.J.
Cook.
All right, Chase Brown or James Cook and Chris McCaffrey over both?
Yeah.
Okay, I would take McCaffrey over both because if he's healthy, nobody does what he does. And the hope would be is that we're not getting a four-game season for McCaffrey. You have to be a little bit concerned about injury risk after 450 touches in the playoffs, including the playoffs, and 30 years old now. But, you know, we remember the four-game season from 2 years ago. I think if you get 10-plus games from McCaffrey, he can still justify being a first-round selection. I like Cook better than Brown. I just think that there's more rushing potential there for James Cook. Led the league in rushing last year. And if he gets more involved in the passing game, I think it'll be better than Chase Brown as well. So love both, but I would take Cook over Brown. So for me, it's McCaffrey, Cook, Brown.
It's the same thing for me. It's McCaffrey, Cook, Brown, though. I did hear a great case from Theo Greminger. Shout out Beyond the Box Score show that's going to drop tomorrow. A little shameless plug here, Adam. You'll have to listen to this and deal with it. We did an excellent episode talking about breakout league-winning running backs, and he made a really good case for how James Cook could actually end up finishing RB1 this year, and he's kind of that outlier or that kind of dark horse to do it. And it's essentially based on the fact that McDermott's gone. It's going to be the full offense. They're going to be able to kind of unleash it. And just the upside of using him more in the passing game with Carmichael coming over to that coaching staff in Buffalo. It's very intriguing. So I'm higher on Cook than I was before that episode.
Okay. I would take Cook over Chase Brown also because I just think he's a better player. But here's why you – and I would take McCaffrey. But here's why you could take Chase Brown. James Cook averaged 18.1 PPR points per game last year. Take away week 18. He didn't play much there. 19.2 points per game for James Cook. That's fantastic. Chase Brown in the last 10 games of the season last year, though, he crushed that. He averaged 21.6. Right. He averaged 22.3 points per game in six games with Joe Burrow. He was boosted a little bit by the absences of T. Higgins in two of those games. So if you just look at the five games that Chase Brown played with Higgins and Burrow, he averaged 22.6 points per game. If you look at weeks 9 through 17 of 2024, Chase Brown averaged 20.6 points per game. In every sample I gave you, he is at least 1.4 fantasy points better than James Cook per game last year, even removing week 18 from James Cook. So it's not, if you want to take him, if you feel conviction about it, there's plenty of evidence to do it.
You can, if you want to, take both.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't think Chase Brown is going to make it back to him in the second round. That's why he wants to take
him. I don't think James Cook will make it back to him in the second round. No, so there's a better chance of Chase Brown making it back to him.
All right. This question is from Zach. I don't think I promoted the airing of grievances much, but that's going to happen soon. We're going to air some grievances. Zach says, what defensive positioning group do you believe will be an easy target for offenses this year? For example, last year's Miami Dolphins run defense and Cincinnati Bengals against tight ends.
Sure. I'll start with throwing one out there that I really think is going to be a big one for Fantasy Matters, especially in the second half. The Bucs secondary. They have built out a pretty good defensive line and edge group, and they should continue in Todd Bowles' system, be like a funnel in the run game that funnels to the passing game. But those DBs are really bad entering the season, and with injuries, they're likely to get worse. I feel like that's going to be one that we look at and talk about a lot in the middle toward the end of the season.
I think the Browns defense will certainly be much more vulnerable without Myles Garrett there. I know Jared Verse is a good player, but he's not Myles Garrett. And so that pass defense, while they do have some quality players in the secondary, you're losing Jim Schwartz, you're losing Myles Garrett. That defense was once very tough and a tough opponent for us to play players against confidently. That's a big difference right now.
Yeah, the Dolphins are going to be horrible, I think, at everything. Sharp Football Analysis has the Dolphins with the worst secondary in the NFL going into the year. Commanders second, Raiders third, Giants fourth, Cardinals fifth. The Dolphins also have the worst front seven, according to Sharp Football Analysis, with the Cardinals also in the bottom five there. The Falcons and the Bears and the Saints round out the bottom five. So running on the Dolphins, throwing on and running on the Cardinals, probably. I think the Giants secondary is horrible, but their pass rush might be so good that it could compensate. The Raiders should be pretty easy to throw against. Washington should be easy to throw against. As far as tight ends go, that's a tough one. There's always like one team that kind of emerges, and sometimes that team is really good against wide receivers, and that's why they're so bad against tight ends. Actually, the Bengals last year were a decent example of that. They had a shutdown corner, and they might be better against the run this year too with Dexter Lawrence, so they might suck again against tight ends. All right, next question. Actually, let's see a picture of Dan when he was 25 He's years bad. Old.
I took Whoa! One.
Ah, man, we all look weird from back then, dude.
I had some better ones than that. I've looked through. There's like 10 of these videos. I think the funnier thing is the background, the headphones, the lack of microphone, and the glasses, which I no longer need thanks to LASIK.
What's wrong with the background?
Look at it. From my room, that's the point.
Same apartment?
No. That was a long time ago. That's when I used to live in the city. That's the New York City apartment.
It's just white. There's not a single color in that.
Yeah, I had just moved in. I mean, that was like the living room, I guess. I don't even know where that was.
That's so funny. Good times, man. You want to air a grievance?
We're doing them like one at a time?
I don't know. What do you think, JV? Should we save them all to the end?
I think every 10 minutes you do one.
All right, we're 10 minutes in.
So just for those who don't know, this is my idea. I said we'll call it the airing of grievances. So I want the credit for that, Adam. And I said, during that trip, Adam did some weird things and I did some weird things. We're going to air all our grievances with each other from our FSGA trip. So that's just to set the tone. Adam, I'll give you the floor. You can start it off.
Okay.
And mine aren't all grievances, by the way. There's weird things I saw you did.
Yeah, true. Airing of grievances is a Seinfeld reference from the Festivus episode, yes, which is very famous. I mentioned this one on the end of the wide receiver, or the tight end tier show. Let me just read it exactly. Used own fork for family style serving.
No.
Used his own fork that had been in his mouth.
No,
to serve the vegetables. Yes, it had to serve the vegetables on the table at the family style meal. And the context I didn't give, to be fair, was that nobody was eating the vegetables and it didn't have a serving spoon. But Dan absolutely 100% used his own used fork to serve the vegetables onto his own plate.
A few things to note about this. One, there was a lack of serving spoons in general, would you say, throughout that dinner?
Sure, but there were other serving spoons that you easily could have used.
No, there were not. Two, for that. Two, it was toward the end of the meal when I saw the vegetables had been untouched and they were pickled vegetables and I wanted them. So I got him out there. But to be fair, my fork did not touch a single vegetable that I didn't end up eating. And it did not touch a single vegetable that was left in that tray of vegetables. It only got touched on the ones that I was eating. And then after I put it back untouched, the vegetables that were left in there were untouched. No one even touched them or ate them. No one was eating those vegetables.
Well, that's understandable though.
Yeah, seriously. No, listen,
this was the end of the dinner, Jamie.
I'll be honest. It was a no harm, no foul offense, but it was still, I think, bad etiquette.
I don't know what else I could have done. I could have tried to. What I was thinking is, should I dump the tray on? And that would have been even.
Could have used another serving spoon.
Yeah, you could have used
another
serving spoon.
There were none in the area,
Jamie. Yes, there were.
No idea what was going on.
Bro, there were 10 plates on the table. There were 9 serving spoons.
They were not.
All right, let's go ahead. Your first grievance.
Well, now you're going that hard. I have to look through my list. I was just going to say some nice things. Let's take a look. Okay, I'll start with this one. We're at the bar, you know. We actually had a great dinner with some Fantasy Football Today listeners where, and shout out to those guys who came out to us, came out to visit us, had dinner with us, drove out there. It was a great time. What'd you say?
What are their names?
We had Joe, who I remember. This is BS by you, Jamie. I'm bad with names and it's been a long time.
You shouted them out. You got to give their name.
I know. Why am I not remembering names here? I remember Joe for sure. I remember all of them, but I just doing bad. Sean. Okay. And now I'm going to feel bad that I forgot the last name. And I'm picturing him in my mind and I'm just bad with names. But that's not important here. The important part of the story is they all had a great order. And then it gets up to Adam and he goes full Larry David on his order. He orders a burger and it's like that scene from Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David orders the Cobb salad. But it's like, hold the bacon, hold the no bacon, no blue cheese. And basically every ingredient in the Cobb salad isn't one. So he's like, can I get the tavern burger, but no bacon, no bacon jam. I want no lettuce, but you can put a tomato on there and some cheese.
This is
one patty. It's supposed to be a double patty. He's like, and I want one patty.
I mean, it was a little bit of a particular order, but this is such a bad grievance. You could have done better than this. This is what you came out swinging with? Come on, man.
Go on.
It was Joe, Sean, and Jeremy, by the way, were the three guys we met up with.
I forgot. I was going to say Jeremy, but my bad, Jeremy.
I've never seen that Cobb salad scene, but it sounds very funny. Basically, they had two burger options on their menu. One of them was like bacon, fried egg, and all this stuff. I didn't want that. The other one was a double cheeseburger with some other stuff. I was like, I just want one patty, cheese, and tomato. That's all. I like mushrooms, onions, whatever. I made my own burger. Big deal.
You made your own burger.
Big deal.
You could have just made your own burger, though, instead of ordering the specific tap house tavern burger. Just a simple order. I want the burger, and that's it.
So far, Adam is winning in the airing of the
group. I don't even have any groups. This is going to be bad. I'm looking through it. There's nothing good in here.
I'm going to give you a bonus one. Because, Jamie, you want to talk about the grievances from the trip? How about before the trip even started? We go through this whole thing about how I'm going to pick up Dan. I'm going to drive halfway, get to Dan's house, pick him up, and drive the other half. He right. didn't offer to drive or anything like that. 1 hour before I'm about to leave, he calls me up and says, you know, I think it might be better if you just take your own car and I'll just take my own car. 1 hour before I'm about to leave in carpool him, he tells me that I have to drive 2.5 hours by myself because he's like, I got something on Friday afternoon. I think it's probably just better if I take my own car. He's going on. I'm like, Dan, just tell me that it's golf. I can tell that it's golf. So he almost made me drive the full way by myself to get to his golf game on Friday. I was able to convince him not to do that. Super selfish.
Did you play or no?
They ended up playing later that Friday?
Yeah, you did, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did. But I just didn't know. I also just wanted to make sure that we were going to get there on time because he had a tough day Friday where he had to get back to pick up his son. So it was a lot. There was a lot going on Friday before that tennis match. But yeah, that's a good grievance from you. I still think it's ridiculous. I offered to pay for gas. You said no. I tried to make it up for you by buying lunch or breakfast. You didn't care. I don't think you should have to. I offered to drive. You don't want me to drive your own car. And so somebody actually in the chat, or I think this was on Twitter, did a great job of Azer statting this. Honestly, I drove all the maximum amount of miles that you allowed me to drive. So essentially, I drove every possible mile of that trip from Azer stat version of this. Because listen, you wouldn't let me drive your car. I didn't know I had to drive my car that has a problem on it, by the way. It has that little notice that you need to take it in. I was willing to drive it if I had to, but you know what?
That's right. He said he couldn't drive halfway because his car was
it's got issues. His car it's got issues. And I didn't know when you offer to drive, you have to offer to then drive your own car. I was offering to drive your car.
I don't want you to drive my car. All right, we're gonna take a break, come back and talk about Breece Hall after this on Fantasy Football Today.
I'm getting
question about Breece Hall from Austin. I don't understand the appeal for Breece Hall at this point. He's had back-to-back years of disappointment on a bad team where game script and other running backs on his team could be a real problem. P.S. Adam, I feel like you're just too nice to beat Dan in tennis. It would crush him. Jamie, Breece Hall is RB.
That's not true.
RB14 in Fantasy Pros ADP, RB15 in CBS ADP. I think he was RB21 last year overall. He's going in the third round. Is he going too early?
It's the range for him. I would prefer him in round four. I think the thing that you're hoping for Breece Hall is the role in the passing game, because that's really what disappeared last season. So the offense as a whole should be better. I think Frank Reich as the offense coordinator and Geno Smith as the quarterback will be a better pairing than what Breece Hall dealt with last year. Plus, you have better weapons around him. You know, the addition of Adonai Mitchell late in the season, Omar Cooper, Kenyon Sadiq, healthy Garrett Wilson. Like, just the environment should be better. That being said, it's still going to be a bad team. It's still going to be a bad offense in general. It's just a matter of how good can Breece Hall be. I just think if he can get back involved as a pass catcher, he'll probably score in the neighborhood of 5 to 8 total touchdowns at best. That should help him. But if he's going to be a sub-40 catch guy, it's going to be tough to trust him.
I like the fact that if you actually look back on it, specifically last season, Breece Hall was up there among the top 5 running backs in explosives. Like, he was creating explosive plays on a really bad offense. The expectation this year, hopefully, is that Geno Smith can level that offense. I just can't imagine it would be worse, or it's possible to be worse than it was with Brady Cook. Is that his name, the Missouri quarterback? I always forget it.
Yeah.
It's so meaningless. He's not going to play in the NFL much longer, I don't think. No, he was horrific. He was horrific at the position. And that's the thing. That's important to note. Like, he brought that offense down so much, he destroyed the ceiling or even the floor for Breece Hall. So I think just any level of competence, and Geno brings that as bad as he is now, will definitely raise the floor and ceiling for Breece Hall.
The Jets were 21st in running back carries in the first 3 quarters of games. They were 29th in the fourth quarter. So they never got to run the ball really in the fourth quarter. They had 5 goal line carries all season long, which ranked dead last. And Breece Hall had only 2 of them. But they've actually been 30th or worse in goal line carries in each of the last 3 seasons. It's been really bad, but hopefully it should be better. And Breece
Hall, just got to see if what Aaron Glenn wants comes to fruition with Braylon Allen getting more work.
Yeah. All right. This is from Andrew. When you talk about tiers, it would be great if you could publish a list of salary cap percentage that those tiers would roughly coincide with. I know it's impossible to do live, but a guide we could download would be great. So let's actually try to do it. I think that's a good call. Running back or receiver, Jamie, pick a position.
Let's go running backs.
Okay, so let's say $100 budget. Or you could just give percentages. But $100 budget. Gibbs and Bijan are tier 1. What is the range in budget there?
30% for each guy.
30. I think, how high would you be willing to go for Gibbs?
35.
I don't think I would ever pay that. I equate it to a $200 budget. I'm probably maxing out at 60, so maybe 30 for me.
Okay, tier two, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, James Cook.
That's usually the, 30. Yeah, that's, oh, yeah, I usually think that's more of like the 20 to 25 range.
Okay.
It all depends how you want to play your auctions, though. Seems like it's way, in the sense of like studs and duds, or if you want to try to build a more balanced roster out.
Tier three, Chase Brown, Achan. Let's call these guys the late round one to late round two picks. Chase Brown, Achan, Ken Walker, Hampton, Genty, Barkley, Henry.
15 to 20.
Oh, that's super cheap. Isn't it? Am I crazy?
I mean, it's a sliding scale, right?
I think so. But if you're saying like $17 for Barkley and 25-ish for Taylor, you think that seems normal? Like that seems in line out of a $100 budget?
Yeah, if you remove the names and you just talk about RB3 versus RB12, like that's about what they go for.
Makes me want to take RB12 in that case.
Well, that's what Dan's point is. Like, you want to go studs and duds, or do you want to go more balanced? So you take two of those guys.
Well, I just think everyone in tier three, Chase Brown, Devon Achan, Walker, Hampton, Genty, Barkley, Henry, could easily outscore Cook and Taylor, right? Like, they're still phenomenal players with that potential.
And that range is so good this year at running back in my mind, that like 5 through 12 range, let's just say it cuts off at maybe Henry, that honestly a case can be made this is a bad year to go studs and duds and auction, because you're going to have to, every year, no matter what, those top guys do cost a considerable amount more than the next tier of guys. And you're probably going to get, you know, like 5 and 12 for the same price as Gibbs or Bijan.
I think though you got to sort of limit the amount of players you call studs.
Yeah.
Because like if you're doing this, you're doing it for probably the top two running backs, the top three wide receivers, and maybe another handful of guys at most that qualify for this.
For that, yeah.
Okay, tier four is Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, and Jeremiah Love.
12 to 15.
That's fair.
Jacobs has the potential certainly to move into the 15 to 20.
I would say Love does as well.
Okay.
If you look at it, interesting Love stat that I saw that I think is just great. Out of all the top 10 picks in the NFL draft of the running back position, there's been like seven of them. It's been like Leonard Fournette, Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley. The only one who finished outside the top 10 in fantasy points per game in his rookie year was Genty last year, and he was still RB11. And that was probably the bottom out case for a situation for rookie running back. I know Love's situation is not good or great, but I don't think it could be as bad as that. The Raiders offensive line was a stone worse in the NFL by far last year. He was hit behind the line of scrimmage more than any back in the NFL, I believe it was, for Genty. And Love has a receiving profile that Genty doesn't really offer. So the reality is, I think there's a good chance that we're all kind of undervaluing Love right now. You usually don't see a pick like this drafted outside the top 10 in ADP in his rookie year. I think he's outside the top 15 right now in ADP at running back, falling pretty much every day. I just feel like that's a good bet to make. And I haven't been on Love the all offseason, but now I'm coming around based on kind of the game theory side of it, for me at least.
There is one other name, though, that did not. What was it, top 10 per game?
Yeah.
McCaffrey.
I thought McCaffrey fit into that. I have to look at that again.
He did not. He was about 13th.
Then maybe that was the one that they didn't include. That was
who did you say? No, because Genty didn't either. On a per game basis, they were both about 13 to 15 per game.
No, Genty was 11.
Overall, there's no way.
Yeah, overall, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Overall, sorry.
Points per game, he was worse.
Overall, McCaffrey was ninth. Yeah.
Yeah. It was on overall
per game. McCaffrey only had 117 catches.
And part of that is the volume aspect of it, and the fact that, you know, if you're a team that drafts a running back inside the top 10, you're going to feature them, especially toward the end of the year when your team stinks and you want to sell tickets, you want to do something for the fans, in my mind at least.
Yeah. All right. And then let's get a few more tiers in their dollar values here. We get to like the round four running backs. Tier five, Javonte, Breece Hall, Scadaboo, Travis Etienne, Achan, Quinshon Judkins, DeAndre Swift, and David Montgomery.
8 to 12?
Yeah, that's a fair range. I would say even cheaper, usually you're going to get them for. That's the point about, like, these guys never end up going in that range in auctions, or at least one or two of them will fall out into that 5 to 8 range.
And one more tier, tier six, Bucky Irving, Bajal Touton, Chuba Hubbard, Tony Pollard, Travion Henderson.
5-8.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised to hear Bucky in that tier, but yeah, sure.
Why, he's ahead of that for you?
For me, by a lot.
He's a tricky one. Why do you like him?
I think I was trying to think of today, like the closest case. Last year, my big call at running back was James Cook. It was on our flag plan show, and that was the guy I was all in on. I was trying to think who's the closest bet to that. And part of why Cook was so devalued last year in ADP last August was we don't know what his red zone role is going to be. They take a lot of different backs on the field. He doesn't have a huge snap share. He's not a third. Is he their third down back? He comes off on third downs. All those things were used against Cook to keep his ADP down last year. And those are the exact same arguments against Bucky. But if you look at 2024 data, Bucky was one of the best running backs in football. Yards after contact per attempt, forced missed tackle rate. These were all top five metrics. Some of them were like historic levels with the 4.03 yards after contact per attempt. And I just look at the explosive plays he can create. Reminds me similar to of James Cook. So if some of those touchdowns that like go away in the red zone or weren't there for Cook in the red zone over his few years turn into these 20, 30, 40 yard touchdown runs like we saw from Cook, Bucky's going to maybe fit that mold. I also think the offense is going to be a lot better. The Bucks were one of two teams with the Chargers that had like no snaps together with their starting offensive line because of injuries. They're going to be healthy. Baker Mayfield played hurt. That whole offense, I think, takes a big jump forward with Zach Robinson. And I think he fits Zach Robinson's run blocking scheme really well. So there's just a lot for me to like with Bucky. And the negatives are there, the red zone role and the passing down role. But I think those might be overstated a bit when it comes to just bringing down a fantasy profile, especially for a running back who's drafted outside the top 20 of his position.
That's a pretty good case. I do wonder about that sometimes where I think it's a little more relevant for Breece Hall than Bucky Irving because both
their offense sucks. Yeah.
Well, no. Well, I was going to say like with both of those guys, you know, you're like, all right, this is a lead back, Breece Hall with the Jets, Bucky Irving with the Bucks, but you've got a third down back in Kenneth Gainwell, you've got a goal line back in Sean Tucker, potentially. With Breece Hall, you've got a third down back in Isaiah Davis. You've got potentially a goal line back in Braylon Allen. I think the guys on Tampa Bay are better than the guys on the Jets, though. Right.
That's a lot, yeah.
Right. So that's kind of a ding against Bucky Irving. But I do wonder...
You're saying the running backs. I thought you meant the supporting cast.
No, the competition at running back. Yeah. Breece Hall's right. He may not be the third down back, but he really shouldn't come off the field that much for Braylon Allen and... But Kenneth Gainwell's like a really good player. You know, Kenneth Gainwell's going to play, or he's a good player.
Yeah. They signed Gainwell for a reason. He's going to take the passing down role. And I think some people are saying in the chat, look, Tucker will take the red zone role. I would think that's most of the red zone role. Because the fact of the matter is, and I think you or Dave brought this up to me on a show recently, Adam, before the injury last year, Bucky Irving's, not only his work was trending up overall from a snap share standpoint, he was really well used in the passing game. And he was kind of really good as a receiver. He was ninth best, I believe, in the past two seasons at yards per outrun as at the running back position for receiving. I just don't think they're going to take him off the field as much as people think. It's similar to the Cook thing. When he's your best back, and he is by far, in my mind, of those three, I think he's going to get more work than people assume.
Seventh in yards per route run over the last two seasons.
Yeah. Okay,
and
there it is.
So good in the passing game. Okay, let's go to our next one. And this is just kind of a funny one from a fellow irked Adam. I get the names that we give certain stats. It makes sense, and the entire industry is on board. Though Green Zone is a CBS exclusive. That I don't know if it's true, but that'd be cool. I imagine that it bugs Adam that red zone targets count from where the ball is snapped, but end zone targets count from where the receiver is targeted. It does bother me. Bothers me a lot. But there's nothing you can do about it, right? Because we can't count end zone snaps as balls that were snapped from the end zone. But it is a very different stat because you can have an end zone target from 40 yards out, and that ball could be that does not count as a red zone or a green zone stat. Yeah. So anyway, also I was looking at like targets of three or fewer air yards. And I think if a guy runs a route like 10 yards downfield and the ball is batted down at the line of scrimmage, I think that actually counts as a target of three or fewer air yards.
Right.
So not stats can be a little deceiving sometimes. All right, here's one from Dean. Jamie, this is a question about, and we'll do grievance after this, but this is a question about teammates. He uses the word tandems, but he's talking about Puka and Devontae, St. Brown and J-Mo, etc. Which tandem players do you think are worth the premium price tag? And which would you rather take the discount in the bargain department? So that could be Kyren and Corum, whatever it is.
So we're talking running backs or teammates in general?
Yeah, I would say receiver, or running back.
Okay. So the premiums would be Lamb and Pickens, Chase and Higgins.
No, I think he's saying like within the tandem.
Yeah.
Which tandem is the better value, the premium guy? Like Chase.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and which tandem is the better value in the discounted guy?
So I guess that would be like I'd rather have Puka than Adams. Is that what you're getting at?
At cost.
Okay.
I'd rather have Chase at cost than Higgins, even though Chase could be the number.
Yes, I'd rather have Puka at cost than Adams.
I'd rather have Lamb at cost this year than Pickens.
I'd rather have Lamb at cost than Pickens. I'd rather have Jefferson at cost than Addison. I'd rather have, I don't know how far down you want to go with this. I'd rather have Ibuka than Godwin, even though that's a close one.
That is a close one.
I would rather have Pittman and Josh Downs than the guys that are going ahead of them.
At cost,
yeah.
How about St. Brown versus Jameson Williams?
Rather have St. Brown. I love Luther Burden, but I'd rather have Romo Odunze at cost than Burden because I think they're close.
Okay.
I think I'd rather have Mike Evans than Pearsall, despite the cost for Pearsall being so cheap. I love Evans this year.
I'd agree with that. I'm
trying to think of the other fun ones that we might have missed.
The Pickens-Lamb one is interesting because it's really just you have to pick one of them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could take like Lamb in the first and Pickens in the second, but you know, where their ADPs are, you just have to pick your favorite one.
Right.
I'd rather have, that's a good one from Pops. Yeah. I'd rather McConkey have Ladd McConkey than Quentin Johnston, even though I like both.
Wandale Robinson versus Carnell Tate.
Wandale, for sure.
I'd rather have Wandale cost.
I'd rather have Tate straight up.
You'd rather have Wandale straight up?
For PPR leagues, yeah.
Once a giant, always a giant.
No, right? It's just they sign him for $80 million and he plays the slot role in Dable's offense. Like, what are we doing here? Olave Tyson. Olave. So cheap.
I'd rather have Parker Washington than Brian Thomas Jr.
Their costs are almost the same, though.
Yep.
So you'd rather just...
What about Marv? It's a good one from Pop Soda. Marv or Wilson?
I'd rather have Marv.
I think so too.
The
splits with Marvin Wilson are bad, and I love Wilson as a player.
The splits are bad for both of them, though, in the second half of the season.
True, but the splits with Harrison on the field are not good for Wilson.
But okay. Here's the thing about that is like Michael Wilson wasn't anything when Marvin Harrison was on the field until Harrison got hurt. When he had finally broken out and established himself, they basically had the same target share. Marvin Harrison was definitely the guy more so than Wilson, like for the half of a game that he would play when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want Marvin Harrison. I don't really want either guy. So if I'm going to waste a pick, I'd rather waste like a 9th round pick than a 6th round pick.
Fair.
All right. Let's go to our next question here. Let's go to another grievance. You want to go first this time? Can you actually have a good one?
Well, most of what I have are just quirks that you have written down, but I did save one big, and I'll get to all your quirks at some point, but I did save one big grievance that I was going to bring for the end, but I'll bring it out now because you brought out that ridiculous one that I'm mad you read on air and I still don't stand by. I didn't touch anyone else's food. I used it and made sure I only got the stuff on my plate. But anyway, I invite Adam. We go to play tennis. We come back from the trip and I invite Adam up to my parents' country club. It's called Orange Lawn. It's a beautiful place. They just became members last year. They're new to the club. They had my brother's wedding there. Great place. They're trying to, you know, get in nicely there. Adam, we're about to start the match. My dad and my mom are playing tennis on another court next to us, and they're rallying. They're about to have fun. And Adam's like, wait. I need a towel. So my dad has to like go inside to the pro shop and get Adam a towel. Cause obviously like Adam's like, no, don't do it. But like my dad's not going to not do it once he's asked to do it. Like, you know, like he wants to be a nice guy. So he goes and does it. So they stop.
Why couldn't either one of you go get the towel yourself?
We were pretty far away.
We were farther away. Anyway, this is a minor part of the story. That was fine. So then we get to the match. We're playing, you know, we're on this country club. I'm not a member there. My parents are 1 year into their membership. Again, I'm not a member. Adam's certainly not a member. The match goes on. It's 5-4, last point of the set. Adam makes a nice serve. I barely return it back, but Adam runs around his forehand and tries to hit like this down the line winner. He misses the shot and starts screaming at himself, Adam, I can't believe you did. You knew you weren't going to get that. Takes his hat, throws it on the ground, makes this whole scene there. And then it's like, I'm so sorry. But the damage had been done, Jamie, right? He already made the scream. He made the commotion. He threw the hat. He's so mad at himself. Adam screaming at himself. I believe he did two curses, if I remember right. Cursed at himself twice out loud, loudly for anyone to hear and anyone to see at this club. And I invite him up to a place, a really nice place, and this is how he treats it.
I felt really bad about that, but no one was around us. Like, we were pretty much the only ones on the court. Right. I did not throw my hat on the ground. I threw my hat like 50 feet across the court.
Yeah, you chucked that thing, and I believe you cursed at yourself at least twice.
Yeah, it was bad. It was embarrassing.
Dan, what kind of water are you drinking there?
Saratoga, baby. I buy it too for myself. It's my favorite water.
It wasn't as embarrassing as we were sitting with Alfredo Brown, who's at the conference, and a guy who works with us, Brandon Stalling. And
Dan
went to tell a story, and he opened the story, and this is a quote. He said, quote, have you guys ever heard of the show Survivor on TV? And they were just like, yeah, have you ever heard of American Idol? It was the dumbest question. Of course we've heard of Survivor.
Obviously, that's just how you start a story. You get them going. I could have said, you know the show Survivor. There's no big difference there. That was a bad one.
Also, no, it was so funny. Also, Dan, we all had our like badges on with our names on them. someone asked Dan like where he was from. So Dan just like holds his badge out so he could see, and the badge was backwards. Showing him the badge. There was a first time attendee.
So you're just rapid firing them now. I get one, and you get as many as you want.
There was a first time attendees, like happy hour. And we're all sitting there chatting, whatever. And then someone wanted to make like a little speech. So they're like, hey, can I have everyone's attention here? Dan takes it upon himself to shush the back.
No. I did a great thing there.
You shushed them.
Hold on. I did not shush them. Now let me tell the real story.
Oh, you absolutely shushed them.
Oh, yeah.
Scott's here.
You were wrong about that. So CBS was hosting a reception on the first day. And the woman who was organizing came in, and she was like, come on, everybody, can everybody be quiet? And nobody's listening to her. Come on, can we be quiet for 1 second? So I did something that really helps it get quiet for a second. I went, shh, in the room. Everyone hears that little sound in the right ear. Yes, it's annoying in some context. I agree with that. I would never want to do it in some context. But in this context, it worked like a charm. Everyone got quiet, and she was able to make her speech. And she was allowed to make the speech that she wanted to make that no one was paying attention to, and no one was being so disrespectful towards her. So in that context, it was actually a great shush.
How did it go?
It was a great shush.
It was. In that context, it was.
And trust me,
Dan is the shush guy.
I love your badge. I'm the shush guy.
In that single context, and I'm not a big fan of shushing. Trust me, I'm not a shush guy. In most spots, you don't shush. But in this one, nobody's listening. They're so disrespectful towards her. I'm trying to get her to allow. I'm allowing her to make her speech, and it worked.
I think it was a little bit of a hasty shush. I think you're exaggerating how long it took before you decided to shush everyone. I think you couldn't wait to shush people. We're going to take a break. By the way, he's really shocked to you that Dan loves Curb Your Enthusiasm. This guy is channeling Larry David. We'll be right back on Facebook.
So you just got four in right there while I got one. That's nice.
If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I drove Dan to get a cheesesteak. When we got back in the car, he opened my car door directly onto a wooden post on the sidewalk. Claimed that he stopped it with his hand.
I stopped it with my hand. I know the sound of a car door hitting a wooden post.
No,
I stopped that with my hand. And that was prior to Adam trying to parallel park, which was a nightmare within its own self, watching him parallel park. Did a horrific job on the first try. He's like, was my technique all right? Tell me what to do. I'm like, I have to tell you how to parallel park
all right? Car? What, Little Soprano?
What'd you say?
I said, what is he, Meadow Soprano?
I don't know, dude. Like, he's like, was my technique okay? Can you tell me what to do? I'm like, I don't know, man. You don't know how to parallel park a car. You straighten it out, and then you cut the wheel. You go back a little, and you cut the wheel. And he's like, all right. And then he did it, and he's like, that was good, right? I was like, I guess it was not the right technique, but he just kind of, like, fitted in there a little bit. And there was so much space to work with, too, by the way.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't my best. This is from Matthew. He needs a keeper for next year. It's a 10-team league. It's 6 points per passing touchdown. It's PPR. It's two running backs, two receivers, two flex, only one quarterback. Who are you keeping? Jahmyr Gibbs in the second round, Tyler Warren in the 11th round, or Drake May in the 13th?
Gibbs.
Yeah, I think it has to be Gibbs here. In these types of leagues, especially, they tend to be shallower, and it tends to be a better thing to keep the higher end players in these leagues.
You know, I do know how to parallel park. It was a really bad parallel park job. I will say that.
Yeah, sure. Damage to your car?
What's that?
Was there damage to your car from the post?
I hit my hand. Yeah, check your car. Check the tape.
I actually haven't even checked. I don't know the tape.
There'll be nothing there.
Bring Scott on.
Scott, well, he's not backstage. He's not in
the... No, stream. Scott mentioned a grievance that I haven't been allowed to say. I'll just share that now. We get to the cheesesteak place. Angelo's Cheesesteak, shout out. Best cheesesteak I think I've ever had. Thought it was fantastic. Adam takes a really bad picture of it. Like, my picture looked a lot better. But regardless, you can see the Cooper Sharp there. It was a great cheesesteak. We eat it. Everybody seems to like it. Scott loves it. We're with Scott Fish. And who else were we with from... Joe Bryant from Football Guys. Yes. Great dude. I had never met him before. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to love the cheesesteak. I was like, yeah, this really lived up to the hype. Adam, how's your cheesesteak? It's a little too heavy. Too heavy for a cheesesteak. Like, what are you expecting to get into when you eat a cheesesteak? If the words too heavy come out of your mouth for a cheesesteak, something went wrong there.
You're a good storyteller. I got to give it to you. You know, you've had burgers before where it's like, this is good, but man, I feel like kind of gross. Listen, man, like, this is why...
Of course you feel gross after eating a cheesesteak.
This is why I have a chance to beat Dan. All right, like, there's four of us eating these Angelo's cheesesteaks. I'll throw the picture up again. I ate half of mine. Scott Fish ate half of his. Joe Bryan ate half of his. These are responsible adults, but we're also guys who could put away a cheesesteak if we wanted to. Dan ate the whole thing. And it was really heavy. Like, it was greasy, and it made me feel really full, and I didn't want to feel that way. It was good. I liked the cheesesteak, but it was very heavy. You can't
what
be
did you
eating
do with the rest of it.
I put it in my that's the other story. I put it in the fridge at the hotel. I left it there. Nobody
it there.
Dan was so pissed because he wanted to eat it 2 days later.
I would have eaten that cheesesteak. Yeah. When am I going to get Angelo's cheesesteak again? Probably never. Not for years. And I had a half of one sitting in Adam's fridge. He just left it there.
You are literally George Costanza.
Who, me or Dan? Or
Dan.
Yeah, of course he is. Jose is very nervous about missing out on Colston Loveland. I understand he performed great at the end of last season and in the playoffs, but I'm not sold on drafting him. Are there any players in the past that performed well at the end of the season and in the playoffs, then carry that momentum into the following season?
Yeah, you showed a whole list of it on the wide receiver.
I did. This is perfect timing. I hope I still it was in my Parker Washington notes. But yeah, two good examples would be Jackson Smith and Jigba. And who was the year before that? Rashee Rice?
With the playoffs?
Yeah. Rashee Rice in his rookie year. Amon-Ra St. Brown in his rookie year. These guys had like 6-game sample sizes. Rashee Rice actually wasn't that good in the playoffs his rookie year, but he was phenomenal down the stretch of his rookie year in the regular season, and then he only played 3 games. Okay, played 4 snaps in a 4th game, but he was great. He's just been great ever since breaking out. Amon-Ra St. Brown was phenomenal in his 2nd year, and then JSN was phenomenal in his 3rd year. But yeah, most of the guys who had these big finishes and then a big ADP boost the next year over the last 2 years. So Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Jerry Jeudy, Ladd McConkey, Cortland Sutton, Jameson Williams, Marvin Mims. Mims being the worst example because he was like 152nd in ADP. They were all busts, some of them injury related. The year before that, CeeDee Lamb, his big finish pushed him to wide receiver 1, and he ended up as wide receiver 1 in ADP, I mean, and he ended up being wide receiver 9. Christian Watson, Zay Flowers, Jaden Reed, these guys were either slight busts or big busts. So it is just always you want to see more establishment, but keep in mind, it can happen. And 2 of the 3 examples I gave you were rookies. Right? They were St. Brown and Rashee Rice. The other guy was a 3rd-year player, 2nd-year player when he broke out in Jackson Smith and Jigba. So I think it's better when a young guy does it. Like when Jerry Jeudy does it, okay, we have enough of a history there. But all right, that's just a repeat of yesterday's show. This is from Charles in Texas. He says, respectfully, regarding the cherries and fruit salad discussion, it's ridiculous. Have you never heard of maraschino cherries? Those are the only cherries that belong in a fruit salad, if cherries belong at all. Please put this discussion to bed once and for all.
Cherry pitters, man.
Yo, maraschino cherries belong in drinks, and that's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a maraschino cherry in a fruit salad.
Yeah, they're gross.
If you're looking for like a sugar high, yes.
Yeah, what are those things like soaked in sugar? Why do they taste the way they do?
I actually don't mind them, but I wouldn't eat them.
They're not, obviously, who doesn't mind them? It's just like a sugar cherry. But like, why do they taste so sugary?
Yeah, they don't belong in sugar.
I don't. Oh, it's syrup. It's probably soaked in syrup. I bet. Right? Yeah. Those maraschino. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Maraschino. Go ahead. Say that.
A little diabetes boost.
Say that one. What kind of cherry is it?
Maraschino or something?
Maraschino. Remember, okay. Grievance. Remember when?
Yeah.
We left a chair.
I'm excited to get to this one.
Yeah. So we were at the same dinner where Dan used his dirty fork.
I did not do that.
Well, you did.
You admitted to doing.
You admitted to doing. Right. This is the thing. He admitted to doing it. Now he says, "I did not do that."
Because I touched only the stuff that I put on my plate.
Okay. Did you take your own fork that was in your own mouth and put it into a serving tray that was meant for other people?
It's a small cup.
No, no, no. Yes or no?
No one ate. Yes.
Okay. That's all I need to say.
So the dinner was about half CBS people, half non-CBS people. And for some reason.
The one I saw the picture of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And, you know, when I sat there, there was an empty seat. And it was between me and Dan. Imagine the poor guy who has to come late and get that seat. And this
oh,
guy,
I would never know what that's like.
He was, yeah, right. He was such a nice guy. He was like early 30s, you know, so happy. He had just gotten engaged. He was like telling the story about the proposal. He had just gotten a puppy. Like everything, this guy was loving his life. And then he made the mistake of mispronouncing the name of an Italian restaurant to Dan Schneier. What was the name of the restaurant? D'Alessandro's? And he
that's
and,
the actual name.
And he D'Alessandro's, said like, D'Alessandro's or something like that.
D'Alessandro's. So this is what actually
happened. You destroyed him.
No, I did not destroy
this.
Him. I didn't even come close to destroying him. You're exaggerating the hell out of this story. First of all, second of all, I got a DM from the other day, like, yo, dude, it was so fun hanging with you. You're the man. So clearly your take on what happened. Did you get that DM? I don't think so.
No, I'm actually a little upset because I thought we hit it off.
Yeah, and no, you did not, apparently. But anyway.
Both fighting for his attention?
I guess so. Anyway, dinner's going on, and we're talking about best cheesesteaks. I told him we went to Angelo's. We're in Philly. He's a Philly guy. You know, he knows the area. He's like, well, he does, and he's an Italian guy, too. He's born Italian. You know how I feel. I wish I was born Italian. I'm a wannabe Italian person. Anyway, he's like, yeah, there's actually a really good one I went to called D'Alessandro's. That's how you pronounce it. D'Alessandro's. Like two words. D'Alessandro's. Andrews. like Mark Andrews. I was like, actually, I think it's pronounced Delisandros. And he was like, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
He literally said, you're right.
Thank you, Dan, for correcting me.
He did, dude. He actually did. He's like, you're actually right, man. I didn't destroy him. He's like, you're actually right. I messed that one up.
Oh, man.
I mean, who's going to say, like, I don't want him saying it. I think I did him a favor in the long term. I don't want him telling everybody I went to Delisandros when it's really Delisandros. The Philly people in this chat will back me up. Like, it's called Delisandros. Do we want him just sitting there calling it Delisandros the rest of his life? I helped him.
You did help him. What site did he work for again?
Splash Sports.
Yeah, I think we should do a survivor pool for the FNT.
That would be
listeners.
Cool. It's a great site.
Yeah. All right.
When he said the restaurant's name incorrectly, did you go shh?
Exactly. That shit was taken out of context. I really helped get that speech along the way. It was going to take another 3 minutes.
Also, Dan just like took way too many of the complimentary things. This is his glass, his cup of water. There were 3 lemons and 2 limes in there. He had 5.
There's plenty of lemons out there, boys. There's no reason not to take lemons. It made the drink better.
You don't take 5 pieces of citrus.
There's
it's just
3 pieces of lemon in there.
Yeah, but you can't clearly see the lime. There's 2 lime in there.
There's no lime. There's no
that
lime.
That might be the greatest sentence ever said on FFT.
What?
You don't take 5 pieces of citrus.
You don't.
There was so much. There was unlimited amounts of fruit cut that day.
This is a great, great line.
It made the drink so much better.
Survivor pool. You know, that reminds me of this obscure TV show. Thank you for a mommy burger for that one. All right. You have anything you'd like to air before we get to the fantasy cops?
I just don't like what Mr. Red said in the comments. I wasn't trying to, trust me, it wasn't viewed. He was not offended at all. I just didn't want him saying Delisandros about a place that's called Delisandros. I think that's pretty okay. But anyway, oh, I got a few more things. I'll do the quirks. You just did a million. Don't even, you have all the, you have all this like, these like, what's the word? Like you have ways to, let me do a couple other Adam things. We'll just say that. One, we get to the hotel. I want to go to the bar and like meet up with some people at the conference. Adam's like, no, let's just go up to the room. I was like, all right. And then I was like, wait a second. I think Scott Fish is down there. Let's go check it out. And Adam's like, you lead the way. You lead the way. You go in there to the bar. So I have to do the leading of the bar. Didn't love that. We get to the hotel. We to pay for the room, you got to give a credit card incidental. Adam pulls out his wallet. I may be the one who's more like Larry David on the show, but my God, does he have a Costanza wallet? I cannot believe Adam's wallet. That thing must have legitimately been 3.5 pounds of weight. Like, yeah, honestly, true. That is the heaviest, oldest looking, worn out leather wallet I've ever seen. He had 3 badges from CBS. He hasn't worked in an office for CBS in 5 years. He had 3 of his old CBS badges that he took out. Just unbelievable.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So there's another one for Adam. I got a few more.
You know, he used to steal his wallet, right?
Yeah,
that I did hear about that. I love that you used to prank Adam in the office. But yeah, he's still the fattest Costanza wallet you've ever seen. Another one. I go to the bathroom. we're listening to one of the speakers at the conference. And we're sitting next to each other at a table. I go to the bathroom. I get back from the bathroom. What do I notice, Jamie? Adam's feet are up on my seat. His dirty, disgusting shoes right on the seat. Just lounging out there.
You can make fun of my wallet. There's nothing wrong with my shoes. They're normal shoes.
They're dirty. They go on the ground. They're all sneakers. Right. You put them right
I
up on my
you
seat.
Left. I didn't think you were coming back.
Why not? It was the middle of the thing. It was the middle of the day. There was no sign that I wasn't coming back. I was going to the bathroom. I didn't think I had to announce I was going to the bathroom for you to not put your feet up on my seat. But I guess I was wrong about that one.
Guilty as charged.
Throw that one in there as well.
Guilty as charged.
Here's another one. Every single Uber we got into, Adam told the world, every Uber driver, nope, this Uber driver doesn't give a crap about Adam's stories or any of it. He just wants to get to point A to point B and get to his next ride. But every Uber driver had to hear about, can you believe this guy? He's never seen Rocky. He's telling every Uber driver that we got in. It's unbelievable. There's another one. Okay, here's another one I'll throw in there. We on the way home, we got to get gas. We stop in New Jersey for gas. And he pulls out their car and he just goes, ugh. And he gets so pissed at himself.
Oh, come on.
You did. You did like a, ugh. I'm like, what? He's like, I forgot there's a gas attendant in this state. I was like, is that a bad thing that somebody's going to pump your gas? This is one of the greatest parts about being in New Jersey. And you never have to get out of your car. They'll just do it for you. So that was a shocking one to see. Also, he weirdly was like, oh, no, panic mode for a second. He's like, where's my credit card? And realized he already handed it to the guy. Just crazy frazzled moment by him. What was that thing with the credit card thing? There's something like that.
It wasn't that. No, I couldn't find my credit card.
You thought you left it in the hotel room, right?
Yeah, I did.
You thought you gave it to the hotel person. All right, here's another one. Let's see what else
Scott
I got.
Say here about you learning about landscaping?
Yeah, Scott's partner for Fantasy Cares is like a fancy landscaper.
Massive landscaping situation. He's talking to the guy for 20 minutes. The guy doesn't want to listen. He's like, "Can you tell me about your landscaping?" He's like, "Dude, I do like luxury landscaping. I can't give you everyday stuff."
You were just making up a
conversation. You were pressing him, dude. You were pressing him for landscaping information. He had no interest in a conversation. That is true. I caught that one on the side. Trust me, that happened.
I think we're done here.
Oh, you just went off and said like 15 of mine.
Not even airing grievances. You're just making up stories now.
No, none of this was made up. That all happened.
I don't even landscape. Oh God. Oh, that's.
Yeah, you talk to him. You're like, I need help with my yard. You did not go through that conversation. I definitely heard that.
No, I had one question. I had two questions. I think about sprinklers and stones. Okay. All right.
Well, it seemed like he was really interested in giving you that information, not trying to get to his next destination. One final thing. This is not a grievance, but just a really funny story from the trip. We're driving up there and Adam's telling me about like all these group chats he's in. So,
oh my gosh.
I could tell this, right? There's no reason not to. I'm not going to use names or anything.
No.
I'm going to keep it as vague as possible.
I think no.
No?
No.
You got to do it now.
There's no way.
Adam.
There's no way you can tell this story well without saying the
I'm going to use no names or anything.
I think no. I think it's a no.
Okay. All right. Forget this one. This is probably the funniest story of the trip.
It was so funny. We were laughing so freaking hard.
I know why you don't want me to tell, but I was going to leave that part out, but it's okay.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
No. If you think it's... All right, fine.
Come on, Dan.
As long as you leave that part out.
I know the part that needs to be left out. So he's like, oh, here's all these group chats I'm in. Here's one with me and I'm not even going to say me and a group of friends that we root for something, whatever. And so he's like telling me about the chat. He clicks it on his like screen on the car. And so now he just starts reeling off stuff about this chat. He's talking about the people in the chat. He's saying all this stuff about the chat. And then he's talking about some event that went down and he starts cursing. He starts reeling off something, got him worked up, I guess, about the chat or whatever. So then he's like going through this. It's like this 2-minute rant Adam has. And then there's a stoppage point in the rant. And we just start hearing Siri in the car reading back everything Adam just said, just reading in the Siri voice with the cursing and everything. And we thought like for a quick second, like, oh no, this is going to get sent to that chat. Like Siri thought this is going to be this whole thing of Adam ranting sent right to the chat. It was going to be so hard for him to explain this off. So we had a really good laugh there. Like
it was going to
great laugh.
It was going to be, do you want me to send this? And like, I cut it off. Sending a text message manually, like during her, but it was
while driving. That was really safe.
It was pretty incredible.
It was very funny.
All right, Fantasy Cops. This is from, I don't even know anywhere. From Patrick. Patrick is in a fantasy league that is 20 years old. It's a super flex keeper league. You can keep two players for their draft costs last year. And you can now trade future draft picks in season.
Ooh.
So this season, Kyle decided to sell off his team. In one of his trades, he acquired a random tight end, Kate Otten, for part of a larger package with Matt. Later, Matt, who was in first place, needed a tight end fill-in for a bye week. So Kyle traded Otten back to Matt, and they agreed to swap their two picks in the 12th round as compensation. Is this collusion? A, they traded a player once and then back, and sure, he was just a throw-in, and it was around 4 to 6 weeks later. But okay. B, swapping picks in the 12th is equivalent to essentially nothing. So to me, it appears they are essentially sharing bench players. Technically, we have no rule against this, and it was not vetoed, but it stinks. A team who is tanking their season is helping the first-place team with a bye week fill-in. Sure, it's an extremely low-impact move. I don't believe they are sharing winnings. But if I had demanded a veto due to collusion, would I have had a case? Side note, because of this and Kyle's careless fire sale this year, we have now banned in-season draft pick trades to minimize tanking.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's interesting. They're in the 20th year of a league. It doesn't sound like an auction, but it's similar. We had similar problems. Every single problem we had in our league was due to, we had a team that tanked, traded away draft dollars in an auction league, and it ruined the entire integrity of the league. Unfortunately, when you allow these things like trading next year picks, it does create this massive gray area. I would say the easiest solution out of this in the future is to just get rid of that, ban trading future picks or future draft dollars. As far as dealing with the current situation, I think the best scenario is to do what you guys did, which is nip it in the bud. Don't say, oh, you know, there was no rule against it. You kind of quirked your way around it and found a rule, because that's what we've done in the past in my league that's going into year 20. And it really led to an unfair situation and a really unbalanced level, not level playing field, by just allowing the person or people to kind of skate around the rules and find their own like quirk here. So as far as, is that collusion? In the past, the way we've dealt with it, we did not consider it collusion because it wasn't technically against the rules at the time. So I think that's probably the best way to approach it as far as kicking these people out of your league or not. I wouldn't do that for that reason. But I would personally change the rule on the spot.
I think you just have to establish it. Are you allowed to trade players back once they're traded to another team? So like, can you swap players, the same player, later in the year?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can. I think there should just be, you know, it's got to be like a month later, 4 weeks later, whatever. I don't have that rule in any of my leagues, and it's just never come up really. But this is such an obvious example of like just helping a team during his bye week when it doesn't really matter to you, swap with 12th round picks, whatever. So it doesn't feel right. But if you put it in the rules or you can trade a player back after, you know, a certain amount of weeks, you don't want to do it. I don't like it, you know, to do it like the next week, because then you're just, hey, I got this player on a bye and you're just swapping. That just doesn't feel like
you're borrowing. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like in the spirit. See if we have any good comments here. No grievances about how Adam or Dan drives is a huge upset for me. I thought for sure one of them would drive too slow.
Well, I didn't get a chance to drive. Adam wouldn't let me drive his car halfway, which I would have gracefully done. And I can drive a car, Adam. So I don't know what you think I am. Somebody who hasn't lived, you know, however many years on this earth with a driver's license, 20 now or whatever, less than that. But like, point being, you just didn't trust me to drive your car. So I never got a chance to. But as far as how did Adam drive? As you would expect, cautiously, let a lot of people pass him.
Is he a 10-2 guy?
No. Is he
I'm a one-handed driver.
No, he's not a 10-2 guy, but he was a very cautious driver, let a lot of people pass him. And thankfully, he didn't do the one thing you should. No, that's true, Adam. You would disagree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a cautious driver.
It's a good thing
driver.
To be. Yeah, it's a good thing to be. You're not speeding or anything. That's good.
I'm a speeder. I speed.
You didn't speed at all once on that trip.
I mean,
at times you might have gone below the speed.
There is never a time. There's pretty much never a time when I'm on the highway and not going over the speed limit, unless I can't. If I can go over the speed limit, I 100% I go up to 10, maybe 15 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Adam, you know, on these cars now it shows the miles per hour, right? So I could see it the whole time.
You're just wrong. Like, I didn't want to be in that car any longer than I needed to, not because of you, just because it was a long trip. By the way, Dan and I had a great car ride. We didn't listen to the radio once. Like, we just talked.
We had good conversations on that car ride. Adam is the man. But as far as the one thing he didn't do, which was good on the road, he wasn't one of those guys that like sits in the left lane at the speed limit and that block. You're supposed to let people pass in the left. The left is for passing, and the middle or the right is for the type of driving Adam does.
Dan describing driving is the way I anticipate Adam doing Dan's impression of Dan describing driving.
Look at these sucking candies, Jamie. Dan had so many of these.
I had 5 total on the trip.
No, you had 5 the first day.
No, that was 3 and 2. It was 3 and 2.
Yeah, they're little sucking candies.
They're so small. I had 3 and 2.
Yeah, I had like 1 a day, because that's what
you good
do.
For you. You don't eat candy. You're the best.
No, it's just they're for everyone.
Dude, there was trays of this on every table, and I had 5 total. That's crazy.
At one point, there was a...
You can't take 5 pieces of citrus.
There was a... too many. There was a snack bar. It was like nuts and like some dry fruit and some M&Ms. And, you know, it's like, you know, have you ever seen those like tubes of cereal where you kind of crank it and the food comes out or whatever?
So there were not like, that many M&Ms in that thing.
It was like that. So Dan takes a bowl, puts nothing but M&Ms in the bowl.
No, you made that
removes
up.
The red and blue ones.
Wait, now you're just
looks
lying.
Looks at
you're
me and says, go Giants. And then he dumps the rest of the M&Ms back in the tube.
Mm-hmm. That was made up entirely, obviously.
That would have been amazing, though.
Yeah, amazing. You would have loved that.
All right, those are our grievances.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say those are our grievances. And the best part of the show is Dan trying to get a comeback in, and then Thomas is going to commercial break in the middle of Dan's first word. That
cut it
awesome.
Right off.
All right, thanks for watching and listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week. Have an awesome weekend. This has been Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
We'll be right back. podcasts.
Everything has to come to an end.
Now streaming only on Paramount Plus. The acclaimed series, The Chi, reaches its final chapter.
We from Chicago. It's my home.
From Emmy Award winner Lena Waithe.
There are two types of people in this world. Those that reach for more and those that just enjoy what they got.
This The Chi. Anything's possible.
Singing this song to you.
The Chi, the final season now streaming only on Paramount Plus.